love that drew Salvation's plan. Thank you, Norma and Ann, for sharing that with us. And I certainly hope that we are genuinely a people of godly love for one another as we pray, care, share, and empower others. It's a complete demonstration of our love, not only for one another, but for everyone else that we encounter. So glad you're here to worship with us, and so appreciative of the sweet presence of the Lord with us this morning. Before we get into the sermon, just wanted to share a few things with you. My Sunday school class is starting a new study in regard to the Sermon on the Mount, and it's entitled Living Out the Way of Jesus. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus addresses a lot of the issues that our culture and society are dealing with today. And so a lot of things haven't changed from the New Testament era to ours. People are still dealing with the same thoughts and issues. And so we're going to be sharing those and discussing those in our Sunday school class, 9 o'clock. And so if you're not in somebody else's class, we'd love for you to join us and as we work through the Sermon on the Mount. And so, we would love to have you join us for that. And a little disclaimer this morning before we get into the new sermon series entitled A Look at Depression. I am not a medical doctor. I am not a licensed counselor. I'm just a vessel desired to be used of God to share what God has laid on my heart with you. And so I do appreciate if you'd be praying for me as we work through these next several Sundays and take a deep look at depression. Terminologies may be different from doctor to counselor from time to time. And so I want us just to get the gist and the understanding that depression is a very real thing that most people have encountered at some point in their life. Or maybe me dealing with today. And so I want to raise that awareness and for us to care deeply for one another and to help one another along. And so you be praying with me. I shared with Eli and the Smiths were practicing the other night. When we get through this, I believe that I am going to be depressed. I've never encountered so much information. And the truth is, so much hurt, as I have in the last several weeks as we begin to prepare. And so please, please, please keep me in your prayer as we wade through, if I can say, this concept of depression. The truth is, this morning, depression is a common emotional problem in America today. You can see it just about everywhere we go. Hospitals are full of people who are severely depressed. But those who are hospitalized, along with those who are under the care of a doctor for this difficulty, represent only a tiny portion of our population who are struggling with depression and are functioning far below the level of their effectiveness. In the 14th century BC, Hippocrates coined the term melancholia. We often say melancholy. In fact, they even say today that it is a personality type. We may often refer to it as the blues, a slump, or maybe even I'm feeling gloomy today. More accurately, the experience is depression. Now, we often don't want to admit that, but more likely it would be depression. And it doesn't affect a particular class of people. It attacks the rich and the poor. It has no respect for race or nationality. Young people suffer almost as much as adults with depression. Do you know this morning that suicide is the second leading cause for death in teenagers? Many of us have felt that pain. Not just teenagers, but adults, and not just teenagers, but Christians. Sold out Christians are not immune either to this thing of depression and suicide. For some, depression is as periodic occurrence. For others, it's chronic. For some, it's severe, demanding professional, medical, and psychiatric help. For others, it's mild, but still strong enough to make life tough and oppressive. In its severity, it makes us ineffective. Even in its mildness, it colors our lives with gray and robs us of joy and meaning. Hardly anyone, and I do mean anyone, is immune. Most of us know depression even if we don't admit it. Our different experiences are simply a matter of degree. I don't know about you, but for many of us, and myself included, January and February are tough months. Boy, I'm glad the sun is shining today. Sometimes I feel like a turtle or a lizard and I need to get out there and sun myself a little bit. But me, you know me, I'm an outdoorsman. I love to fish and I love to be in the woods and I love to be outside doing stuff and being part of what's going on out there. And January and February are usually hard months for that. And so, just tough on me. We were sitting at home the other evening just to share a little bit with you. And it was Sunday. And of course, as you know, in January, we haven't been having Sunday evening services to kind of slow the spread of sickness and such. And so I am so looking forward to February, that first Sunday in February. I believe that's February 6th for our worship night when we come back together. It was a Sunday ago. After church, we talked about it and we went out to lunch and we ate lunch and we kind of fooled around a little bit and we came back to the house and as the time ticked away, I'm a mover, as you know. Everybody else was kind of sitting around enjoying themselves and I was getting a little antsy and a little restless and I do that every now and then because I like to be out and about moving, doing something. We were sitting there and I looked over to Aubrey and I said, Aubrey, if something doesn't happen soon, I'm going to be like Ed off of Lion King. Not Ed from the river. So Ed, if you're watching this morning, that's not what I mean. But Ed off of Lion King. If you've ever seen Lion King, Ed is one of the extremely distorted hyenas and on Lion King. And my favorite part in the movie, I should have had Eli throw this clip up, was when they were in that area where they were talking about Mufasa. And the one female hyena said, Mufasa. And Ed goes, hey, I love it, say it again. And his eyes are popping out. And that's kind of how I felt Sunday evening. I don't know if you've ever felt like that or not before, but that's kind of how I felt. And so all of us at some point feel this thing of depression, even if we admit it or not. It's a real thing. Something we need to recognize. Something that robs people so much of life. According to the degree, depression is disabling. Inhibits our action. Robs us of vitality. Upsets our secure patterns and rituals of daily life. Erodes our confidence. Distorts our perception and intensifies even the mildest hints of guilt to make our guilt sometimes unbearable. And I know that a short sermon series that we're going to be walking through over the next few weeks, such as this, may offer little help for the severely depressed. And I know that severe depression and treatment are being revised constantly. Yet for many, depression is a progressive, and that for all of us, there is depression that is not severe to the point of medical treatment, but still ravages our lives, bogs us down, and prevents us from experiencing the abundant life Christ has to offer. Therefore, over the next few weeks, we're going to take a look at depression. So as we begin to do that this morning, I want to call your attention to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 this morning. And we are reading from the NIV this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. I'd appreciate if you would stand for the reading of the Word this morning. These are the words of the Apostle Paul and Timothy and the others that on a ministry assignment in Asia. It's the words of the Apostle Paul. I want us to get that for a moment. This is the words of the Apostle Paul, the great apostle of the New Testament, this tremendous man of God who does amazing things under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And these are his words, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experience in the province of Asia. We are under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Join us in a word of prayer. Dear precious Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, we ask that you would move on us in such a powerful way. Help us to have clarity of mind, Lord, and help us this morning to be able to respond to your word as we deal with this difficult subject of depression. And so as your people this morning, that you would enlighten us, and Lord, that you would touch us, and that you would encourage us this morning, because that's who you are. And we ask, Lord, this morning that you would move in a powerful way. We ask, Lord, that once again you allow us to come under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that allows for the preaching of the Word. I just desire to be used of you this morning to share your words with your people. And so, Lord, this morning we just simply need you to touch, that we can share your words this morning. And we ask that you would just move as we come to your Word. For we ask in your precious name, and amen. You may be seated this morning. And so, as we begin to dig into this thing of depression, I thought that this passage in Corinthians was so appropriate for us. The truth is, sometimes many people think that we're strong enough, spiritual enough, brave enough, whatever you want to add in that adjective, that we are not going to have to worry about this concept, or we're never going to have to deal with this. And so I want us to understand this morning that even some of the great Bible heroes that are so important to us, at times in their life, struggled with the very same thing that many Americans struggle with today, this thing of depression. Here in our passage today, we have the Apostle Paul, great man of God, wrote most of the New Testament as we know it, done some tremendous things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Timothy is with him as well, a very highly recommended individual in the New Testament. We know him well. And others that were gathered with Paul and Timothy are in Asia, and they're in this ministry, of course. But listen once again to the words that he says. We are under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. Those are powerful words from the Apostle Paul. They're under so much pressure here. And the pressure is so great that they're not even able to endure. And even at times, they despaired for life itself. They thought they were going to die. He said in verse 8, so that we despaired of life itself. And listen to verse 9. Indeed, we felt we'd received the sentence of death. They were experiencing some tremendous pressure. In fact, so much so that they thought that they were even going to die. The reason I know they really, and I'm not saying it wasn't just a thought, they were really believing that they were going to die. You might say, Pastor Mike, how do you know that? Look at verse 9. Indeed, we felt he had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but God. You notice Paul didn't stop with the comment of but God, who raises the dead. Paul knew if he died that God was able to raise the dead. And so this concept that they felt like they were going to die was very, very serious and very accurate. Because Paul says, God who raises the dead. And so know today, no matter where you are, what's going on in your life, whatever pressures or stresses or heartaches, or whatever it might be this morning that you're going through or dealing with, you're not alone. Paul, Timothy, and some of the others in the ministry in Asia way back there in the New Testament felt some of those pressures. So much so, they thought that they would die. I'll be honest with you, it wasn't too long ago I felt that way. After Christmas, I had gotten sick, as so many people are right now. And about 2 days in, I was so wiped out and coughing my head off. And it's almost like I want to throw my hands up and say, Lord, take me now. We've all been there at some point. We've all been there. And so I think it's so important that we do address this issue of depression. And so we're going to start right there. What is depression? And I want to be simply honest with you. A lot of the information that I'm going to be sharing with you over the next few weeks are not from me, but a lot of it is going to be from June Hunt, who is a psychiatric counselor. And I would recommend anybody that wants to dig in deeper than what we're going to, this little book that has been so informative for me, entitled Depression, Walking from Darkness into Dawn. And it is from June Hunt, who comes very highly recommended, a tremendous individual in her field, as well as information that Dan Harrison and I have discussed over the last probably month in regard to this topic of depression. And so a lot of this flows out of what they have shared with me, and I want to give them due credit, because once again, this is a topic that's out of my field of expertise. I hope that I might be an expert in some fields, but not particularly depression. And so a lot of the things that I'm going to share with you are from those individuals. And I believe if we're going to take a good look at depression, we need to start with some terms and some concepts. And so we are going to look at the word depression. What is depression? Well, if you go to the dictionary, you're going to find terminology something like this. A psychiatric disorder characterized by an inability to concentrate, creates insomnia, loss of appetite, feelings of extreme sadness, guilt, happiness, and helplessness, and hopelessness, and thoughts of death. That sounded a bit like what the Apostle Paul was just sharing with us in Corinthians, also called clinical depression. And so when we talk about depression, it's this thing that is characterized by an inability to concentrate. It creates insomnia, loss of appetite, feelings of extreme sadness, guilt, helplessness, hopelessness, and thoughts of death. That would be a dictionary definition. But June Hunt shares a few thoughts with us that I really think helps us to get a hold of this concept of depression. And if you know anybody that is going through depression, you recognize some of these characteristics. And truth is, maybe you have some of those at different times in your life. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But June Hunt shares with us that depression is literally a condition of being pressed down to a lower position, as in a footprint. And I thought about that for a few moments, and I thought that's absolutely true. When somebody is feeling depressed, they're often under a tremendous sense of pressure, or like they're being pressed down like you would a footprint in the snow. And even though you remove your foot, you can still see the depression of your foot in the snow. And so when somebody is depressed, they really feel like they're being pushed down, held down, confined in some form or fashion. Junon continues that depression can refer to a state of decline and reduced activity. And that's exactly what we see with loss of appetite, feelings of extreme sadness, guilt, and so on. We see that decline and that reduced activity when somebody's often dealing with depression. They don't do the things that they normally do. And so she said, and when we're thinking about depression, you can kind of think of it as in an economic depression. When we have an economic depression, everything just slows down. Sometimes it comes to a halt. And that's kind of what happens for those individuals who are dealing with depression. They're feeling all these things, and at the same time, they're feeling like they're being pushed down. And their life, their joy, their happiness comes to a standstill. And there's a tremendous struggle that begins in their life. And so we have the term depression. The second term I'd like for us to consider this morning is this concept of what we know as clinical depression, or what many doctors and counselors refer to as psychological depression. Because when we talk about depression, it usually is a psychological thing that is happening in the heart and mind of an individual. And so let's look at this word of psychology. Psychology is the science or study of the mind relating to the thoughts, feelings, and behaviors of people. Therefore, the term psychological depression, and what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks, therefore the term psychological depression pertains to the mental, emotional, and behavior characteristics of a depressed person. Psychological depression is a condition that implicates the whole person, the body, the physical, the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions, the spiritual, the source of our deepest spiritual needs. And so when we talk about a person who has depression or psychological depression, we're talking about an individual who is struggling physically, struggling with who they are and what's going on with their life, and tremendous place that people find themselves in sometimes with psychological depression. And so this term that we're talking about, when we talk about psychological depression, is an umbrella term that covers feelings from mild discouragement to intense despair. And so many, many people are dealing with depression. It might be very minimal, or it might be very intense. Now, this morning, that we have a little bit of understanding of terms this morning, and so we're going to spend some time talking about psychological depression. In fact, we're going to share with you this morning four classic types of psychological depression. And once again, remember, terms and such may change a little bit from person to person. But we're going to talk about those four types of psychological depression that counselors and doctors often talk about and share with people who are struggling or facing depression. And we're going to share some scripture then with you that shares some individuals in scripture that might be dealing with that particular type of thing. And once again, I want us to see that in scripture, even some of God's very, very important individuals, not that we're not all important, because we are, that we look to so often, struggled with some of these. And you could probably be thinking of some names in the Old Testament of individuals that struggled with some of these. But we're going to share with you this morning in regard to the four classic types of psychological depression, beginning with what they refer to as normal depression. When we talk about normal depression, it's usually situational or seasonal. And here is the place that takes in most of us, if not all of us at some point, that we face normal depression, what would be situational or seasonal. It's something that comes and goes, and it only remains for a short period of time. And so as we talk about normal depression, it's an involuntary, and I want us to get this in our mind, if we're taking notes, to underline that, it's an involuntary reaction to a painful pressure. Something happens, and we react to it. It's situational or it's seasonal. It's an involuntary reaction. The normal, it regards in regard to the normal problems of life. Once again, normal problems, nothing extremely unusual, but the normal problems of life press down the heart for a short period of time. Normal things like rejection, failure, illness, or struggle, or maybe even the lack of activity. Like for those, many people will say in January, February, when it's gray, it's dark, I'm not as active as I normally am. People get kind of depressed, and that's seasonal depression. A lot of people feel that. A lot of people face situational depression that are struggling with some sort of rejection. It could be at work or some sort of failure. They didn't accomplish something that they thought that they should have, or maybe an extended illness. Or just life struggle. Sometimes life can be very, very difficult and sometimes harsh. And so that would create a sense of normal depression in the heart of an individual. Maybe even the transitional stages of life often press the heart down. Adolescence, an empty nest. Some of your parents are empty nesters. You know that transition of life. And for some, as they deal with a midlife crisis, major moves, or even menopause, or even retirement. And so there's all kind of transitions in life that can create normal depression. I think it's interesting as I've talked to some retirees, they've gone from tremendous activity every day to a very rigid schedule where their alarm clock goes off and they get up and they eat breakfast and they go to work and they come home and they eat dinner and they do their normal evening activities and they go to bed at a certain time, and all of a sudden that all goes away. And then they say, well, what do I do with the rest of my life? I know what I would do. Fishing. But I'll be honest with you too, even fishermen get depressed. When you have fished all day, and I do mean all day, and you threw everything at them but the tackle box itself, and you've caught nothing, when you come back and join the other guys at the campfire, and they're saying, we got into a spot, and we caught this many fish, and we come over here, and we got a bunch more, and we caught a great big one. I'm not sure if they're telling the truth or lying, but you still feel for a moment, well, that ain't fair. And so sometimes you just want to say, I'm just going to pack up and go home. We all face, it can be normal depression. We see this in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 2. And this is Nehemiah talking to the king in his response to the condition of Jerusalem. And so, in Nehemiah 2, 2, we get this sense of normal depression. So the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. Really, Nehemiah was depressed over the condition of his home and the state of Jerusalem. He wasn't ill. There was physically nothing wrong with him. He went to the doctor and had his blood pressure checked and his temperature taken and all that stuff for a normal physical. He was perfectly healthy. But there was a sadness in his heart because of the state of Jerusalem. And the king noticed that. A sense of normal depression. The things of life just simply weigh on us. And it's usually just a short period of time. For those of us who just detest January and February, as soon as March comes along and the weather starts to warm up and the sun begins to shine and you can get out and about and do the normal things of life, that just tends to fade away and you do okay. The same way with people as they adjust to retirement or to the empty nest or get beyond the midlife crisis or whatever that might be. They tend to return to normal activity and do just fine. And that would be normal depression. But as we know, depression doesn't stop there this morning. There's also the term that they refer to as masked depression. So a person can go from normal depression to mass depression. And we talk about mass depression. We're talking, of course, about this concept of hidden depression. A person can be depressed about something and not even really recognize it, except for at different times in their life. And so as we talk about mass depression, it's a state of buried, unresolved conflict. There's something in us that we have not resolved in our life. And a lot of people, and I do mean a lot of people, really deal with this sense of mass depression. Because whatever that unresolved conflict is, when they come in contact with it from somebody else, or even they're reminded of that situation of conflict that they were in, they suddenly get sick to their stomach. They say, I'm reminded when. And it just drives me crazy. I hate that. You know, I just don't feel so good. What it is, it's true painful feelings are denied or covered up. People might say, are you doing okay? Yeah, I'm just fine. I'm just fine. I'm doing okay. You're dying inside. But you tell everybody else, I'm doing okay. I am just fine. Matthew West has a song out entitled Truth Be Told. Appreciate the help over there. And that's exactly what he's talking about. All the things that are going on inside. It really is the thought of depression in a sense. That all this stuff that's going on inside, all this hurt that is inside, but yet we tell everybody that it's okay. And we cover up those feelings and relief from pain or struggle with that type of depression is unconsciously found in self-effort or excessive activity. And so to cover up those feelings of hurt and conflict, a person will keep themselves extremely busy so they don't have to think about whatever that thing is or whatever it is that they're struggling with. And so they'll keep themselves extremely busy and put in a lot of effort to cover up whatever it is that is hurting them so deeply inside. Once again, this is hidden. Nobody else pretty much knows about this. Maybe they got in an argument with a family member and they were hurt. And when that family member comes around, they avoid them. Or they'll see them at the grocery store and they'll go the other direction, consciously avoiding that individual or whatever that struggle is in life. And so that's a max depression. We find that in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 13. As Solomon shares with us, even in laughter, the heart may ache, and rejoice may end in grief. Even though I look like I'm doing fine, and I say I'm doing just fine, and even though I'm laughing, my heart's still aching. I'm dying inside. And my rejoicing that you see is going to end in grief. That would be mass depression. And I know there's so much more to be able to be shared with these, but just time constraints this morning. Once again, we would encourage you, if you're interested, to read. The third one that is shared with us, that people deal with is neurotic depression. And they refer to this as a minor depressive disorder. Now we're going from a state now to a disorder. And this is often where people find that they're going to need medical help. As medicine and so on and so forth. Often in the previous state of mass depression, they usually need, intervention from a counselor or maybe even a good friend that is able to help them deal with the conflict that is in their life. But at this stage, we're looking to where we're looking at maybe a hospital, doctors, counselors, maybe even medicines to help an individual. and this is referred to as neurotic depression. It is a minor depressive disorder, and it's referred to as a prolonged state of depression, which would be longer than normal in time frame for an individual to recover. Remember, in that seasonal, when the season changes or the situation changes, a person will return to how they normally feel and their normal activity. Well, in neurotic depression, that just continues and continues. It's week after week, month after month, and maybe even year after year that a person is dealing with whatever these feelings are. The symptoms begin to interfere with normal biological and social activities, where that person, for instance, loves to go fishing. When you say, hey, you want to go fishing Saturday? Really, I just don't feel like doing that right now. And so it really begins to work on them. Or that person who loves to go shopping, and you say, here's a credit card, go spend whatever you want. And they say, nah, not interested. Something's happening. Yep, some of you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. There's something going on because it begins to interfere with who they are and the things that they love to do. And they want to say, hey, you want to go out for lunch today? We normally do that on Thursday. No, I really don't feel like doing that. And that's constant. Once in a while, you know, sometimes we don't, but just an ongoing thing. And so it begins to affect who they are and what they do. The cause can usually, when we talk about neurotic depression, the cause can usually be traced to a precipitating event. And we talk about a precipitating event, we're talking about something bad has happened to this individual. Something that was unfortunate. When we look at somebody and we see this bad thing in their life, we say, you know, that's an unfortunate incident. Or something very unexpected. The death of a loved one. Whatever that might be, a tremendous loss. And so often when a person is dealing with neurotic depression, it's because of something extremely bad, extremely unfortunate, extremely unexpected, a tremendous sense of loss that they felt in their life. And so they're in this prolonged state of depression. We see that in Psalms. Chapter 38, verse 8, 10, 13, and 14. And the psalmist is saying, I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. My heart pounds. My strength fails me. Even the light has gone from my eyes. I am like the deaf who cannot hear, like the mute who cannot speak. I have become like one who does not hear, whose mouth can offer no reply. We see in the psalmist the effect on the physical. They can't do the things they once used to do. And so that would often be referred to as neurotic depression. And this morning, the fourth classical psychological depression that is referred to is psychotic depression. Psychotic depression is not a minor, but a major depressive disorder. It's a severe state of depression. It often involves disassociation or loss of contact with reality. The psychotic person or the person dealing with psychotic depression can experience hallucinations, delusions, or schizophrenia. And so these are the people that are in serious need of medical attention. Dealing with unbelievable stress and pressure to the point where they see and hear things that are not true. Psychotic depression. We see it in Psalms chapter 102. In verses 3 through 4, verse 7, 9, and 11. Isn't it interesting? And when you read the Psalms, if you read the Psalms, you're going to see David and then some of the other psalmists who wrote, because at a point David didn't write some of the Psalms, but a majority of them. You even see King David go from a very high place to a very low place. And you'll see some of the psalmists who, when we think of Psalms, we think of praise and worship and prayer. In midst of all that praise, worship, and prayer, we have individuals who are dealing with depression. Listen to Psalm 102. For my days vanish like smoke. My bones burn like glowing embers. My heart is blighted and withered like grass. I forget to eat my food. I lie awake. I've become like a bird alone on a roof. For I eat ashes as my food and mingle my drink with tears. My days are like the evening shadow. I wither away like grass. That doesn't sound like a fun place at all to be. And those people dealing with psychotic depression are in a very, very difficult state. We've taken the time this morning to share with you some terminology in regard to depression and psychological depression. We've shared with you this morning what is, from the medical field, what is determined as the four clinical stages of depression. Not the typical sermon, I know. This is our starting point for us to begin to become aware of what depression is at a high level. Next Sunday, we're going to be sharing with you about how to deal with depression. And the following Sunday, how to help somebody that's dealing with depression. But as we've started here this morning, we've got some basic knowledge of this concept of depression. And so today I hope that the information I shared with you is helpful. And helpful as we begin to take a look at depression. The truth this morning is how we respond to our hurt, pain, and losses is very important. Because it can have a tremendous effect on us. Our hurts and pains and losses can lead us to depression if we're not careful. No matter where you are, no matter what you're feeling today, know God understands and loves you. It's always beneficial, no matter what state we're in, to look to God for help in any situation or circumstance. We've shared lots of passages with you this morning from the Psalms. And this is another passage from the Psalm. Psalm 42, verse 11. This is King David. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. No matter where we are, we can find hope in God. Doesn't mean we don't need help. But we can always find hope in God. Depression is a serious, serious matter. And I think it's unfortunate many people know nothing about it. They might know the things that they feel and experience what they're going through, but know little to nothing about depression. I think it was interesting as we come to a close this morning, as I was reading in the book, she talks about the young mother who unfortunately drowned her children in the bathtub. I mean, I'm sure many of us remember that was huge news. But she talks about this lady who was already dealing with severe depression and then had post-traumatic... Oh, now I lost the terminology. Postpartum depression. And it was so unfortunate that she was left alone in her home with her children. And people knew. I think it's important for us to know. Our friends, our families, our neighbors, where are they at in life? What's going on? The truth is there's people around you who are struggling with depression and we don't know it. Truth is, sometimes they don't know it. and we step back. We say, I don't understand why they ended up taking their life. And then we're dealing with a loss from suicide. And we say, I don't know why. I didn't know. I know in the 80s, nobody talked about mental illness. I remember when Prozac came out. And if anybody was taking Prozac, they made fun of them. Said, what are you, a schizophrenic? A lunatic? No, they're just hurting people who need help. Today, we may be a hurting person who needs help. I think it's time as a church, not just Dover Hill, but the church in general, takes this thing of mental illnesses and depression seriously. Because we never know when it might not be our loved one or ourselves. I know this isn't normal for a typical Sunday morning sermon, but it's real stuff that even Christians deal with on a daily basis. And we have a mighty God who can do great things. Think of those who are dealing with depression who don't know God as Savior. Real stuff, church. We proclaim to be a church who prays, who cares, who shares, who empowers. Yeah, we're going to have to deal with this thing of depression as well. Let's be that church that loves hurting people. Because I guarantee you, God loves hurting people. Some of those are us, and God loves us, and God loves them. Let's stand together this morning. The Smiths are going to come, and I know this is an unusual altar call. But this morning, as we've just began to break the surface of this thing of depression. I wonder this morning how many of us would just step out and say, Lord, help me to be aware of someone that's going through this that I may be able to help. Or maybe you're here this morning and you know somebody who is dealing with depression. And you'll step out and you'll pray for them this morning. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're in one of these categories. You would just step out and say, Lord, I need you. You don't have to tell anybody which category you're in. Maybe you're coming to pray for somebody with, or you just want to be more aware of the surroundings and the people around you, or maybe you're dealing with some of these items of depression this morning. As they lead us this morning, can we just, and I hope we respond to this. If you don't know anybody, I guarantee you there's somebody you know. You just don't know you know. Maybe I should say every one of us here this morning should line up across this altar and say, Lord, help us. There's a lot of things that come along with this thing of depression, anxiety, mood swings. Oh, there's so much stuff that we can get into. We're not going to. But it's real. Restlessness, on and on. The church, let's come and pray. Let's allow God to begin to move in us in such a powerful way that we begin to make a difference, not only in our church, but in our community.